Sent me a whole bunch of his other songs, by the way. I can't stand it. Picture of your gnarly scar.
Oh, it hurts. It hurts.
Hello. It's whatever the hell it is. It is 2 minutes and 41 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of February, in the year of our Lord 2007. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed and overly ostentatious and glittery studios of AM 70 Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. I didn't even... Normally, I have to wait for the audience to find music like that and send it in. I found that this morning. I was on YouTube, or the YouTube, as the kids say. And I was looking for the Anna Nicole, the Anna Nicole Show theme. Because I didn't keep it the other day. The day that she died, and then the Metro guys had it all... And it doesn't even seem like it's been the... Like, it's been this few days or that, because she'd only been dead, what, like 5-6 days? And it just already seems like an eternity. And the story's not even close to being over. But I didn't save the Anna Nicole Show theme song. Let's see. Did anybody... Yeah, it's not here. The Metro guys took it off their source. So I didn't save it. So I was on YouTube this morning looking for the Anna Nicole Show theme song. And instead, I just found this truly horrific version of Candle in the Wind. The best part about it is how he didn't change, like, 80% of the lyrics. It was just sort of a rush into pose, like, get it done! It was sort of like one of those instant books about a serial killer that appears on the supermarket shelves, like, while the killings are still going on. That must have been written and recorded. And if you go to YouTube and you watch the video for this horrible Anna Nicole Smith Candle in the Wind, which we predicted, by the way, that she hadn't been dead half an hour and we predicted somebody would do that. And then it's just that song, that hideous, horrific, terrible, cringe-inducing song, and then just like endless, soft, focused Playboy shots of her like bending over with her cleavage spilling out. It's all about taste and style. Anyway. Hello, it is Wednesday, and welcome to Day 12. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970, if you'd like to be part of today's program, telephonically speaking. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. 503-733-2970. Or rick@rickemerson.com. I hold in my hand right here. You'll never guess what concerts are giving away free tickets to today.
No way.
Oh, life makes me smile.
Has it become Theater of the Clouds yet?
Oh, it's become... No, let's see. It is... No, I don't think so.
Oh, that's just going to be...
It's just a couple of... It's just a, no, Memorial Coliseum, right?
Oh, so that's the smaller one.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, Sarah Dillon. Yes,
I don't even... Am I assuming correctly?
I haven't even said... The best part is, yeah. I haven't even said what concert it is. I haven't even said what show I'm talking about. But I will say this, that our good friend, the gatekeeper, Dave Zinn, came up to me this morning, and he said, Rick, I thought you'd want to have this. You'd be interested to know that yesterday these tickets were 50% off. This morning they're free. And then he put the press release about it on my desk and walked off. Here it is. Event information. Friday, February 16th, 8 p.m. Rockstar Supernova comes to Portland on Friday, and you can go for free. Click. Is that the band from Orange County? Yes, it is. Right below is and then they have a Tommy Lee in huge letters and Kilby Clark. And click here to get your free tickets. Almost tempting to go now. Just click the Let's Get Started button. Apparently supplies are limited.
Oh, sure.
All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. All right, so let's see. I got to figure out what we're doing today because it's a little. I'm running a little bit behind today. Normally, I have this matrix made up, which I then refer to, that tells us what we're going to presumably get to. We never get to any of those things, but it's good to have a plan, even if I disregard it seconds into the program. Coming up today, we do have CNN radio correspondent. I swear to God, this is true. Jim Roop is going to be talking about Valentine's Day, which really sounds like something that he'd enjoy talking about. And I guess they've got him out interviewing people on the street. Jim Roop interviews the average American man. Because Los Angeles is full of average people that represent the views and outlooks and opinions of the rest of the country.
They're average tens.
Yes. So Jim Roop, who is in fact the bitterest man that we've ever met in our life, he will be out interviewing people on the street in Los Angeles for Valentine's Day. Let's see. Lisa Goddard is going to be here to talk about Iraq. And apparently we've got... I don't know. Apparently there's some big thing going on about the Iraq war and about the troop surge. And then there's some Barack Obama story that somebody said. I haven't had time to read it, but it's something about the possibility of Obama and Hillary and blah, blah, blah. So we'll get to that. Lisa Goddard will be here to talk about that later on. Our good friend Storm Large will be joining us in studio later on today and around 1:30, 1:40, something like that. Storm Large is going to be here with an announcement to make for y'all. What else? Back after a hiatus, Jen Lane will join us for a skosh later on in the studio. Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine. Scotty J is, I believe he's endeavoring to put some sort of a top five together for today. I don't know what it is, because I still haven't gotten to the AC/DC one, and I got this other one that has been stacked up in the hopper, as they say. Is it a breakup one? All right. Scotty J, in honor of Valentine's Day, Scotty J is putting together a top five breakup list. So he'll be assembling that today. What else do we have? We'll start our inaugural Anna Watch today. Now, the theme isn't really as fully developed as I'd like it to be. Was that your suggestion, the top five breakup songs?
Yeah, well, he was trying to think of love songs. I'm like, why don't you just, because...
Because of the unpleasantness?
Oh, no. I just thought there would be more songs about breaking up than songs about... I don't know.
No.
I hate my life.
Fantastic. Anywho, so there you go. So we got that and other things as well. Anyway, I'm going to recap a bunch of stuff from yesterday that was not gotten to for various reasons. But there you go. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Before we do anything else, let's welcome from accounting our good friend Kristen, who joins us now on the Rick Emerson radio program. What's up, sister?
Well, howdy.
How you doing?
Hey, I just wanted to give you a heads up. I'm not sure if you realize that, you were just talking about Rockstar Supernova.
Yes, I was.
On Friday night. Well, the real Supernova is playing on Thursday night.
The actual, now this is what Tim was referring to, right? The actual, the punk band Supernova.
Right,
yes,
from
they're
Costa
my favorite
Mesa,
band.
Yeah.
Yeah, that the other guys like copped their name from the Supernova that was on the Clerks soundtrack.
And they successfully sued, I might add.
Right.
But, so they're actually at Dante's on Thursday night, which is just, I love that.
You could spend your whole week with Supernova in one form or another.
Yes, you could.
That's why if you look at the Rockstar Supernova logo for the band, it's got the actual Supernova and then above it like crudely photoshopped in like
a bad, like Times Roman serif font. It just says Rockstar in big letters, like at the top. Just said, you know, like, don't sue us. So apparently you can get free tickets to Rockstar Supernova right now, though, if you go to rosegarden.com or whatever the hell, rosequarter.com.
Yeah, no, thanks. I'll be busy on Friday night. So.
I'm doing my hair. I'm sorry.
Actually, yeah, I'll actually be playing on Friday night. So
where at?
At Dante's.
Really?
Perhaps.
No, we should discuss this later on.
No one
we
told
should.
Me. All right. Well, I guess, I honestly don't know what you're talking about.
That's,
so I guess,
that's a little guarantee for you, Rick.
Excellent. Well, I guess we'll find out later when Storm is here in the 1 o'clock hour. Fantastic. Thank you, Kristen.
Sure.
All right, there you go. That's Kristen from accounting. All right. Anywho, we're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah Dillon. How are you doing?
I'm good. My arm hurts.
Yeah. I don't even hold on a second. I'm trying to log in. I had this meeting I had to go through this morning, and so I came with you. So I haven't logged into my email yet. Here's a list of the things that I normally have done at this point in the program that I have not done. I haven't logged into my email. I haven't made a list of the stuff we got to yesterday. I haven't made a list of the things we're going to get to today. I haven't made a list of the guests that are coming on. I haven't made a list of... I haven't organized any of this terrible music that I've got sitting here that I want to play. So there's a whole lot of things I haven't done. Just the number of things... I don't even know where to start with today's show. First of all, Sarah's got a huge... bandage on her arm because she's all bruised up and bleeding on the left side of your body's all ratcheted up.
Yeah.
So
look at that. It's completely swollen.
Yeah, the underside of your arm, I mean, no offense, it looks like you've been shooting up or you've been in a boxing match or something.
It's really gross.
Your arm is all swollen and bruised. I mean, you still look sexy and all, but you're all covered in blood and bruises.
Long sleeve today.
Seriously. I mean, it does... I mean, it looks like you've been in a rumble or something. So
I got in a fight with a bookshelf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of many interesting encounters you had last night from a bookie. From Jimmy the Legs. Joey the Lips is asking for his money. He don't take no. So I guess we'll talk more about that in a second, because that's going to trigger a whole discussion of other things.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it's starting off in fine form for everybody.
Did you bring Lara some flowers to the bowling alley last night?
No, I did not. Let's not talk about the bowling alley.
Oh, boy.
Let's not talk about bowling. Let's not talk about me. Let's talk about anything having to do with me.
Uh-oh.
Me is a real bad subject around the Emerson House these days.
Rick, you're blowing it, dude.
Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification.
Well, let's see here what I do with it. I'm on another screen, and okay. My
best show ever.
All right, here we go. Are you ready?
Yes.
Oh, now I'm ready. Gunfire breaks out aboard a TriMet bus. It's Oregon's birthday today. Anna Nicole Smith's nanny writes about the dead blondes
who nanny
and sexual romps.
Excellent.
Her body will not be released until DNA tests are completed.
Excellent. All right. Let's see. What else do we... Okay, there we go. People are asking about the Anna Nicole. I'll play the candle in the wind thing later on again, so we'll get to that. All right. Anna Nicole Smith and the news on that, and again, I have this Anna Nicole, the opener for the Anna Watch that we'll get to. And it's an idea that we talked about earlier, where it's the Anna Nicole thing, which is dead at the end. And I wasn't really able to do it the way I wanted to. So today, we're just going to have sort of a rough sketch of it. You'll hear the fully formed version, I think, tomorrow. We'll get to that. We've had a bunch of people who want to hear that Red Hot Pistol song again, Inexplicable, which was stuck in my head all night, by the way. That song where the guy's going, "You're in the lion's den," that we played yesterday, stuck in my head all day long. And am I the only one that got a phone call from Fabio this morning? Do you even know what I'm talking about?
No.
Somebody out there will know what I'm talking about.
I think he used to be some kind of old model or something.
Yeah,
he was a butter guy, right?
Hit him in the face with a goose. Do you remember that photo with him? That photograph of, was he on Splash Mountain or something? Fabio was on a roller coaster ride and like a goose hit him in the, like a low-flying bird. There's this famous photograph that now you would think was Photoshop, but it's absolutely real. Fabio, who gained fame as the male model for the covers of romance magazines, where it's always like a bare-chested Indian, like ripping the bodice off like a white woman somewhere.
And then like Iron Eyes Cody for today's woman.
Fabio was the new Iron Eyes Cody. Anyway, I mean, Fabio was the male model for a lot of those romance novel covers, and then he became like, he had a show, and then he was like a, and then he started writing books himself or something, and then he did like a line of cologne or whatever. Anyway, so my phone rings this morning. It's up in my office. My cell phone rings this morning,
And like many of you, my cell phone is not the only phone I have. I don't have a landline at home anymore. I don't have anything. The cell phone rings, and so there's never... It's not that I always know who's calling, but you always know the status of the number. In other words, there's only three numbers that kind of that ring on your cell phone. There's a known number. I sound like Donald Rumsfeld. There are known numbers. There are known unknown numbers. And then there's like a number where it says like restricted or can't be known. Or like if anybody calls me from CBS, it says restricted. And I think it's because it goes through a big, like one of those big Lily Tomlin switchboards. And so you never know who's calling you. But so I look at my cell phone this morning and it's ringing and it says 800 da 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 da. And it's an 800 number. And I wish I'd saved it. I wish I'd let it go to voicemail so that I could play it back today. But I didn't. I just answered the phone. It said 800 whatever. That was the incoming number. And I thought, well, maybe it's the credit card company, or maybe there's, because I've had some calls from the credit card company recently where they, it was that, we are reporting suspicious activity on your credit card account. And that's always a good phone call to get. And they think some bum has gone through your trash and he's out either buying $6,000 worth of shoes on your MasterCard. You know, as a fun fact, you want to know what trip, you know why they called me, my credit card company, why they called me to tell me that there was suspicious activity happening on my card?
Somebody paid the bill.
No, it wasn't that, but you're close. You're close.
Somebody overpaid the bill.
They said we have reported irregular or suspicious behavior on your credit card account, and it's that I bought the suit for Aaron's wedding. That's what it is. It's that they were...
Oh, it's, it was a little too classy for
that's
you.
Exactly what it is, and they don't put it in those terms. When your credit card company calls you to tell you that they are reporting suspicious activity on your card, they don't ever come out and say, like, look, now, all you ever buy is porn, and Harry suddenly hears, here's a stack of Bibles. They don't say that. They just say, we have noticed a purchase that is not in line with previous behavior on your credit card activity. And what they usually is, I just use that credit card to buy like endless pairs of fat ass jeans at the Gap and bags of Cheetos. And that's it. And then suddenly it's like a $700 suit that just appeared on there like out of nowhere. And so that's where they come in. I had to do this whole thing of going into this rigmarole of getting the credit card turned back on. But, so my cell phone rings this morning and I look down at it, it's an 800 number. And my first thought is, oh, God, there's some other crap with my credit card. Fine. So I answer it, and it's one of those recordings, and it's like that Sam Jackson Snakes on a Plane recording at first. I thought it was one of those, where it was sort of a, hello, Rick, you know, would you like to... But I don't think it was, because it was like pitching me a timeshare.
Are you saying that you actually think that Fabio called you?
No, I'm not saying that Fabio called me, but I'm saying I thought it was one of those wacky... I thought it was like a Valentine's Day greeting, is what I thought it was. Because the
Fabio Valentine's Day greeting.
Because in the wake of the Sam Jackson Snakes on a Plane, like everybody we know and everybody you know had that Sam Jackson webpage call a friend. This is Sam Jackson. You got to go see Snakes on a Plane, or whatever that was. Hello, Sarah. Why don't you take a break from drinking yourself blind and go see Snakes on a Plane? And everybody did that. And so that's what I thought. Well, how funny. It's a Fabio Valentine's Day greeting. Ha ha. But it just continues to play, and it's not a Valentine's Day greeting. It's a pre-recorded message from Fabio.
Yes,
it did. No one loves me. Oh, listen, someone remembered Valentine's Day. Oh, no. It wasn't a Valentine's Day greeting at all. It was Fabio calling and using my name to try to pitch me a timeshare. And his name is, and there's only one Fabio. Maybe it was a different Fabio. Maybe it was like Fabio Jones from the Bronx. Which begs the question, is there more than one Fabio? Is Fabio a real name, and is Fabio trademarked if it is a real name?
Probably.
But I answer the phone. He goes, hello, Rick. This is Fabio. Do you enjoy the idea of getting away to a secret desert island for relaxation, but just do not have the money or time? Let me tell you about Secret Island I'm doing like Strong Bad now, but let me tell you about SecretIslandDestinations.com. And then he proceeds to give me like a...
You
40...
know that's a recording, right, Rick?
I know it's a recording, but I'm saying... How did
somebody
they...
sold your name. Somebody did one of those timeshare things. Delane did that to me.
Oh,
once a month I'll get one of those phone calls, except it's not from Fabio. I'm very jealous.
Somebody called Fabio and said, Fabio, we have an emergency recording. We need to make right away.
Seriously, there's a guy in Portland who needs to buy timeshare. So, yeah, so I get this recorded voice from Fabio. And so that was exactly my thought, is that one of my friends, so-called, gave me up. Someone who has my name, number, and is in full left to buy some timeshare from Fabio on an island somewhere, which just sounds retarded on the face of it.
Fabio's Island.
Welcome to
I was going a different way. I was going with the welcome to Fabio Island. That's where I was going with that. Yes, the island is probably fabulous most of the time. Thank you, Scotty. That's actually pretty funny. Well done.
Scotty.
So yeah, so someone was some friend of mine, and then you start thinking, well, who do you know that A has your because I don't give my phone number out to a lot of people. Not like it's ultra private, but I you know this is, I try not
you
to make sure.
You basically give it out accidentally on the air.
I get like once a week I'll accidentally say on the air 674, you know, and then I'll have to bleep it or whatever. But you know, I try not to make sure that everybody has my cell phone number because then it would just be ringing constantly with people who want to speak with me and hear the honey tones of my voice. But so somebody who has my number, somebody who has my name, somebody who apparently can be taken in by the idea that Fabio was pitching them timeshare on an island somewhere, and then somebody who decides that I also need to hear about the Fabio Island. I don't believe...
It's probably a generic thing. They probably sign up for a timeshare, and then once they give your information, you're going to get, you know, things from all kinds of people.
But then you start thinking, like, who do you know that would be, like, why... Then it starts to reflect badly on you that you have a friend who is dumb enough to be swindled by something like that. You know, like your friends. Look, your friends are you. You are your friends. You want to know who you are? Look at the people you choose to surround yourself with. One of the people, and I don't know who, one of the people in my circle of friends bought timeshare from a company using Fabio as a spokesperson. That reflects badly on me. Like all things, this just comes back to how it affects Rick Emerson. Anyway. I don't even know what I was going to talk about here. It wasn't that. Anywho, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Scotty's screening some of these calls. You see if one of these people has received the... And then it just starts to make you frustrated because you fear now that it's just going to be... That is true. That now I'm just going to be getting spam on my cell phone all the time. Yeah. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Because now my number is out there.
And you're mad at that invisible friend that you don't know who it is.
Totally. Some a-hole, some bastard that I know gave them my phone number. And so now it's bad enough. I mean, do you get text spam on your phone? I get that.
I do every once in a while, not too often.
And it's not even from the phone company. It's from, like, some guy, you know, like, hey, would you like to buy, a pointy bamboo thing that, you know, whistles, you know, here, press here. And it's just like a text for some bizarre product that just arrives on my phone. And now I think that I'm going to be getting Fabio with calls on my phone and so forth.
Would you like to go on Fabio's outer space adventure?
No. The answer is no. All right. Well, here's the thing. It's 22 after.
Fabio has booked the Russian space station.
Fabio wants you to join them. Very special. Next, it'll be a cruise. You know, that's the next thing that guy will pitch. That product screams, Fabio. Just a bunch of fat women from Tiger going on a cruise. I want to see Fabio.
He's not looking so hot these days. He was on America's Next Top Model as a guest model because they had to do, like, romance novel covers. And so he was, like, groping all these teenage girls. It was really wrong.
Speaking of teenage girls, we should say that. So yesterday we had this poor girl, Julia, who was in the studio with us. I don't think we have time to really recap yesterday's program here. We'll have to do that maybe later on, maybe at like 45 or something, maybe after Lisa Goddard, because we got a break here in a second. But and then we got these calls to get through. But yesterday was a very strange program. Yesterday was a strange Rick Emerson program indeed, because everybody was in a weird mood. Sarah was in a grumpy mood. Tim was, of course, flawless as always. I was feeling a little over-caffeinated and skittish.
And I know, and I heard from some people last night who listened to the show who said that you were a tad emotional yesterday. So it wasn't just me.
What does emotional mean?
I don't know.
Well, like I was just weeping. You did it openly.
You're weeping openly.
It's close to Valentine's Day.
It's my biorhythm.
It sounds like
that
isn't going very well for you.
No, I'm just I was only upset yesterday because you were being kind of grumpy. Scotty was being grumpy.
Scotty was being crazy.
Scotty was really being angry, and I suspect it's because he was showing off for the 16-year-old. That's just my speculation. I don't know that that's true. I'm just speculating that Scotty was demonstrating his alphaness for the 16-year-old high school student who was in the studio with us. And that made
me...
A
man should.
And that made me...
And that made me a little awkward too, because it's like you don't want to change the whole program because one person's in the studio. It's like you can't change the whole program just because someone happens to be listening. I mean, your mom's in town or something, can't do a whole show that differently because of that. And so we would just be doing our normal show, which basically is just talking about boobs all day. And then I look over and there's like this poor 16-year-old high school girl is sitting next to me who's just desperately trying not to die of awkwardness while she's sitting next to a bunch of balding middle-aged men talking about breasts. It's all very awkward. Well, and Sarah. Sarah, who came in today covered with bruises and bandages. All right. And who was kissed by someone.
I was not kissed by anyone.
In front of someone else last night.
No, it was like a hug.
We'll talk more about that when we get back.
Whatever.
It's 503-733-2970. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Show 503-733-2970. Coming up at 15. No, what am I saying? Skip that. Coming up in about 5 minutes, Lisa Goddard from CNN. Later on, we'll talk about 15 minutes from now. We'll talk about it a little bit about yesterday. It was just a bizarre program. And we didn't even get to the suburban perspective yesterday because it seemed like it was going to go badly. Scotty just had this crazy look on his face all day yesterday.
He's a crazed man.
He just had this, and I think
he is today too a little bit, but not in an angry way. He just seems a little nutty.
He does seem a little out of his skin today. And I think yesterday we discovered the critical mass at which there's too much male energy in the studio. And that is myself, Tim, Scotty, and Dennis. And right, and I think it's the Scotty.
Too much.
I think it's the Scotty Dennis me combination. I think any two of those people can be in the studio. I think all three things begin to go badly. We haven't even talked about you and your many bruises and your many encounters with whoever last night. So we'll. But I got to do these first because the people think that they know. Let's see. Maybe they know about why Fabio was trying to pitch me a timeshare. Which just how bizarre is that? What a surreal statement that is. Jeff, hello, sir.
Hello. I'm thinking of a TV show where Fabio wears a white suit and has a short person next to him dressed the same. People come to the, they get on the TV show because they want to have these, different hairdos. They haven't ever been able to do anything with their hair. And it's kind of like a fantasy show. And he stands there when the people come and they say, "Welcome my guests to Fabio Island."
That's funny. That was also funny when I said that 10 minutes ago.
Oh well, I was out of the truck.
You know, we've all got excuses, friend.
How are your jeans fitting today?
All right, no, that really deserves. No, I'm sorry. That actually is funny. That's.
What are you gonna do with all that?
There you go. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks.
Oh, he's just all embittered, and he's just all angry. Okay. I was out of the truck doing my job. And then he doesn't even stop. Then he just goes over there. How are your jeans? He just plunges right on ahead. Oh, good God. Let's see. This is Dan. Dan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Dan. This is line two. You can tell because line two makes my voice sound all funky. Hello. All right. Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
That's fine.
Wait, how another one happened?
Oh, okay.
How about?
Oh, that does sound cool.
I find your lack of faith disturbing. Hey, there you go. That's pretty good. All right, fantastic. Well, now I don't ever want them to fix line two. Just leave it broken forever. I'm sorry. Is this hello, Rick Emerson Show? Hi, hello there. Hi.
This is Dan from the Coop.
Dan, what's up?
Well, I'm thinking that it's Scotty J enacting some sort of revenge.
Oh, that's why.
Handing out your number to the Isles of Fabio.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever signed somebody? Let me just tell you this. When I, in the early days of, sort of the mainstream internet, like, I'm thinking like 95, 96, when I was in Salt Lake, I had somebody, some jackhole, and I don't know who this was, some guy signed me up for like a listserv email, Usenet thing. Anyway, it was some online newsletter thing where nerds post all day. But he used my email address and he chose the option of like You know, because you know when you sign up for like a newsletter or a Yahoo group or something, it's like, do you want all the postings mailed to you, or do you just want to like get them in a digest, or do you want to go to the website and read the postings? This guy chose like every time somebody posts to the message board, like send Rick Emerson a copy of it, and it was like some all nerds in the known universe message board where they all they flocked there like old people to a smorgasbord, and so every day I would start a fire up my email, and this is back when we were all on dial up. And literally, it would be like downloading one of 572,000, and that was it. So maybe having Fabio call me to pitch me a timeshare is the new version of that.
Well, you know, the other thing is that if you don't buy a timeshare from Fabio, then he'll go ahead and sell your name to some other company. So you'll just basically get endless calls from telemarketers.
Yeah, the only way I can get out of this is to do it and then give them the names of my friends. That's the only way they'll leave me alone. They're like Nazis.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir.
Bye. Right,
that's Dan. It's 503. If you tell us the names of your friends, we will let you go. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent, fashionably attired and with a handful of musings, Lisa Goddard. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, has Fabio ever called you and tried to pitch you a timeshare on an island somewhere in the Pacific?
Oh, I'm sad to say no.
Okay. Well, perhaps your priorities are different from mine, Lisa Goddard. The phone rang this morning, and it was my cell phone, and it was an 800 number. And I answered it, and I swear to God, it was a pre-recorded message from Fabio, male model Fabio. But it was sort of customized like that snakes on a plane thing.
But
it wasn't like an ad for a movie. It was, hello, Rick, this is Fabio. Why don't you take some time out from living in rainy Portland, Oregon, and come live on my timeshare. I am Fabio. And then he like gave me some web address at the end, and that was it. It wasn't even particularly funny. But I sat there like a lemming, like a lemur, and just listened to the whole thing.
I hope that somehow, if you've mentioned this before on the show, I hope that somehow his run-in with a bird on a roller coaster came up.
That's exactly what I mentioned first thing out of my mouth, because that is, it is my belief.
That was Busch Gardens, Virginia. That was my home state.
Is that true? It was a roller coaster, right?
I think it was the Loch Ness Monster.
And then there was a goose or some low-flying bird.
Yes.
And it was like a your chocolate and my peanut butter kind of a thing, where he just happened to be coming along. What are the odds of that? At the right moment.
Yes, good stuff.
And a bird and a camera there to capture it. Somebody already sent me the photo of it. It is my belief that all pop culture icons like Fabio have one go-to statement that every kooky DJ can make about them.
Oh, that's and nice. I guess that's true.
That's Fabio's. Like with the astronaut thing, blah, 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 diaper. That's it, man. There's the one thing about every story that all radio people zoom in on, the one observation they will make. So, in any event.
I heard about the breakup song.
So Scotty J for today's, for Valentine's Day, I haven't seen the list yet, but for Valentine's Day, Scotty J is assembling, I believe, the top five breakup songs. Now, I am unclear about whether these are the top five songs that you use to break up with someone, top five songs for the lovelorn who have been broken up with. There's several ways you can go with that list.
That, or are these I'm glad you're gone, what all kinds of directions you can go.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of, there's either, that to hell with you, or there's the, I'm so broken. Why did you leave me? He says he is merging.
See, I think my favorite are the ones that you're just sad or angry, whatever you're feeling, and you hear a song that really has nothing to do with that, and somehow you bring me, Let It Be. All of a sudden, that's about your relationship.
Suddenly, Paul McCartney was thinking of you.
Paul McCartney understands. That's okay, Paul. I'll try.
Suddenly, the Pina Colada song is about your deepest thoughts and feelings.
The greatest American hero. Come on.
That's fantastic.
Okay,
I'll try. Let me ask you this, and I hope I'm not being too personal. Have you ever done this? Have you ever been in a fight with somebody, or you're busy having an argument or a fight or a breakup or a whatever? You're having like the horrible, painful, intense emotional moment with the person. And then, I don't know why God does this, but sometimes you will be in that moment where you're like, well, I never loved you anyway. And you're having the big fight or whatever. And then there's a radio on in the background, and then the radio always begins playing something like, the radio always begins playing like Right Here Waiting by Richard Marx, Free Bird. I swear to God, this is a true story. I remember, and it sounds corny, but at the time it just seemed, these things always seem so haunting and meaningful at the time, and then later you look back and you realize they're just dumb. But I remember when I was a young man, being in this relationship and just having just what we in my hometown would refer to as a knockdown, drag-out fight.
Nice.
With this girl who was fool enough to date me. And it's just this... You know, just loud and yelling and just mean and just bitter recriminations, just back and forth, just a really unpleasant. And finally it was, and then like all of those fights though, it just escalates into the inevitable, that's it, I'm leaving, you know, and like one of you begins packing a duffel bag full of socks or whatever because you're gonna take off. And I swear to God, at that moment, when that happened, I said, well, I'm gonna leave. And she said, fine, we'll just leave then. And at that moment, the radio in the background tuned to a classic rock station began playing Freebird.
Oh, no.
I swear to God. And it happened right at this lull in the argument. And so I have declared that I am leaving. She has, like, looked me in the eye. She's, fine, leave then. Walk it. You know, get out of my life.
Hey.
And at that moment, Ronnie Van Zant starts doing that, you know, like, you know, I must be traveling on now. And then we looked at each other, and it just seemed like the most poignant thing ever. And I think we actually ended up stopping the fight right then, and we just began to, like, you know, I don't know, we hugged or made out or whatever it is you do when you're, like, 17. And it was all because of Lynyrd Skynyrd, because of that song. That's a dumb story. I don't know why I told that.
No, but I can relate to the opposite. I think when you're in a perhaps a romantic moment, and then all of a sudden some, like, let's say...
Master of Puppets by Metallica.
Yeah, something crazy. You know, some Run DMC will come on, you know, and you're just like,
You're trying to work out some... You're trying to have, like, a tender, sensitive, intimate moment, and Baby Got Back begins blaring from a nearby radio.
Right.
Those are good times. All right. There's no easy segue here, but there's all of this stuff happening. The big disappointment to me is that Dick Cheney's not going to be testifying at Louis Libby's perjury and obstruction trial.
Nope, not going to testify. Scooter Libby also not testifying. They're supposed to be winding up testimony today with the last witnesses, and I guess the closing statements will be next week. But the defense team has decided they don't need Scooter Libby on the stand or Vice President Cheney. And this all goes because, of course, Scooter Libby's defense is that he was overworked, and that's why he made some misstatements to the grand jury, and it was really because he forgot. So a lot of people were thinking, and in fact, Vice President Cheney said he was expecting to testify as to Scooter Libby's workload and the conversations they had about Valerie Plame and the CIA leak. But now the defense team says, nope, we're not going to put him out there. And, you know, of course, everyone's speculating. Does that mean that they feel good about their case, or does it mean that they don't want to put either of those men up to the scrutiny of the prosecutor, who would cross-examine and ask a lot of specifics about when things happened, who they talked to, and how? And those specifics, of course, if they were later proven to not be accurate, could set up further perjury charges.
I don't know, and I can't speak for Louis Libby, but Dick Cheney does and has always seemed to me just absolutely unravelable. That guy just...
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I think that he may have something there.
He's a rock, that guy.
Yeah, I mean, think about the debate with John Edwards. You know, John Edwards is a pretty smooth operator, even a little too smooth sometimes, I think. And he really just broke him down so that John Edwards was kind of like, well...
Yeah. No, I remember that, and I kind of forgot about that. But you think, I remember watching that debate and how Dick Cheney just made him look like a 5-year-old.
He really did.
It's a kind of an overused word in politics, but he does have gravitas, as they say. He just has a presence to him, and he seems unshakable. But I mean, you know, I just love the idea of seeing him on the stand, because I just hear that Darth Vader march in my head every time I see him doing anything. So any chance to see Dick Cheney, you know, on the stand would be fascinating, but, you know, not going to happen.
Not going to happen in this trial, no.
And right below that has got this story, and I didn't know this. It said, I guess I don't know why I didn't think about this. I guess this makes me an ugly American, but it says here that responding to accounts that the U.S. has taken in only some 600 Iraqi refugees out of the tens of thousands who fled their country, State Department's holding a special briefing, blah, blah, blah. So, A... Why are we, of the tens, and I guess I should have just assumed that as soon as we start bombing everything and do the little tiny shards of rubble, they're probably going to say, let's leave. why are we only taking in 600 of them? And then the other question to me is, you're some guy from Iraq and you're fleeing and you come over here and we kind of say, well, no. Like, where do you go then? Do you just hang out in Ottawa or something? Where do you go after that?
Ottawa. You know, though, I just listened to that briefing. In fact, it's still going on. Let's see if we can pile it up.
In Iran, we have now.
There we go. Well, you can tell how that's going. So, but what they said at the beginning in answer to that question was that there were so few. And there were two reasons. They said one was that up until a year ago, the violence in Iraq had not become so sectarian, that it was after that Samarra bombing that the Shia and Sunni really were clashing, and that there were those, we were starting to see dozens of deaths, dozens of bodies showing up in Baghdad every day. Before that, they say, it wasn't so bad. Although the truth is that, as well, they didn't mention this, but that we know that tens of thousands of Iraqi civilians, according to the UN, died in for various reasons, from insurgents and from American fire, because of insurgents. So whatever you want to point to, there were a lot of deaths up until that point, but there were even more after that. Then also the State Department says that they actually weren't getting that many applications because most Iraqis wanted to stay in Iraq. And there is something to that, that most people think, you know, if you're in a bad situation around the world, or pretty, some Americans think that anyone around the world would want to be here, of course, because we love it. We think this is a great country, but the State Department saying, no, most Iraqis wanted to stay there. I don't know. It seems to me there would be more than 600, perhaps, that would want to leave, and there was also a very difficult process for Iraqis to get into this country because of Saddam Hussein, because of that reputation, because of different obstacles that we put up after September 11th that made it difficult from people from several Middle East countries, including Iraq, to get into the U.S. So there were a couple of reasons that it was so low. But
it's a little awkward that we bomb their country into smithereens and at the same time won't let them come here. That's a little tricky.
Well, and that's what it's so interesting how diplomacy works. But the U.N. has behind the scenes been saying that to the U.S. for the last year, and it's just now that the U.S. is now saying, all right, we're going to put this process in place to bring over 7,000, maybe more, Iraqi refugees, and they think maybe 3,000 of those will be here by September if all goes well. Of course, it's going to be a lengthy process, and there are security concerns, and they have to make sure that those refugees who are allowed into the country are not a security threat, so that's tricky as well. But they are taking action, and the UN has been really giving the U.S., I think, its advice on this, and strongly suggesting that the U.S. let more refugees in the country for well over a year, and now it's happening.
It is a weird question. I mean, we're kind of behind time here, but is it
right.
when people come here from another country, whether it's Iraq or whether it's Ireland or whether it's whatever, I always think about, like, I don't know, you take some guy who's an Iraqi immigrant, and then he ends up in, like, Kansas or something. And I always wonder how it is that happens. And I know that sounds like a silly question, but seriously,
right.
People who are from very, very disparate and different cultures, and yet somehow they end up living in, like, Montana.
Right.
You know, like, you'll be in, like, Decatur, Iowa, and there's some guy there from Sri Lanka, and you're like, of all the places in America, how did you end up in Iowa?
You have Arab population in Michigan, right.
Well, does the government decide that, or?
You know, I don't think so. Your callers might know more about that than I do. I know in some cases it has to do with universities that have programs to bring over students, and then the students like the area, the students stay, they bring their families, those kinds of things. Or I don't know how it starts, but it definitely seems that once a community is established, everyone from that area, whether it's Afghanistan or whether it's, you know, Ghana, they know, or here in Washington, D.C., we have a very large Ethiopian population. And so a lot of Ethiopians come here because they've got their community here. So once it snowballs, then the communities are established and folks go to Montana or Washington or to Iowa. But I'm not sure how those things start. It's a good question. I don't know if it's sometimes it's random chance or if the government does have some programs. I know that in the case of some African refugees, specific states and cities in the country have sponsored larger groups, but I don't know if that's the case with every type of refugee.
There ought to just be a big wheel they spin, like whatever the new Ellis Island place is, you know?
The dart?
Yeah, you just stand up there and your family, you're going to Spokane, you know, and then it's either you know, desperate shame or cheer, you know, wonderful triumph, depending on where you end up going. final note,
a whole market for it, a whole bartering system.
James Brown still not buried?
As far as I know, you know, I checked on that.
Excellent.
On Sunday. I need to double check today. They had that hearing on Friday, so I don't know.
Is CNN ought to just have that as a little crawl on the TV. James Brown still not buried, you know, and then just have like a little ticker in the corner, like days that James Brown has not been buried. That would get press coverage from other media if you guys had a ticker in the corner about how long James Brown has not been buried. Pass that along.
I'll make some calls on it. I'll see.
Thank you, Lisa.
Okay, you got
there
it.
There you go. Lisa Goddard on the Hill, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. Anna Nicole Smith, buried or not, you'll find out later. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Steve?
Yes.
Hello, Steve. How can I help you, sir? Thank you for holding. What's up?
Oh, yeah. Hey, I was just wondering, what have you done for Black History Month?
All right, me as in the show or me as in me personally?
Oh, we go with both of them. Take fun.
I am going to begin wearing a dashiki.
All right. You ever notice why the man...
I don't know what that is. What?
You ever notice why the man makes Black History Month
the
shortest month of the year?
No, I've never heard that observation before.
Well, I mean, what
there was this thing about a stitch in time, too. I can't quite put the rest of it together in my head. I've heard it somewhere.
Why would they do that? They're just constantly putting down the man.
Wait, hold on a minute. I think I'm detecting sarcasm.
That little
hee-hee at the end almost made it worthwhile, but only almost. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, fantastic. I don't know what a dashiki is. Is that the hat or is that the little robe thing?
I thought it was the thing you put in a pita.
No, that's... I don't know what the hell that is.
No, it's tzatziki.
Oh, that's tahini. What's tahini sauce then? And is it tzatziki or is
God,
it tahini?
This is one of our dumb conversations that we should probably have off the air.
Never mind. Let's forget this whole segment happened. I believe that's the hat they put on the mule.
I'm going to...
Okay. It's 503-733-2970. I'm going to begin. We're going to double the amount of Run DMC bumper music we have this month. I don't think I had actually done anything concrete for Black History Month, but that will be, I pledge to you, we will be playing twice as much bumper music from Run DMC and X-Clan. All right, let's see. What else am I doing here? Take this? Okay, Fred, hello.
Hello. Hey, how are you doing?
All right. What's up?
I want to talk about, there's a movie playing at Cinema 21 tomorrow called Northwest Passage. It's a show about Portland music in the late 70s and early 80s.
Okay.
And a bunch of bands like the Wipers and Shado Nation and Poison Idea, Neo Boys. And it's got some documentary footage from back then, and it's also got, like, photos and interviews with folks.
See, that's
only going to play one day.
Portland music from, like, I don't know, like the early 90s back is one of those things that really makes me feel like a non-Portlander, though, because it's one of, like, that stuff that I hear about. Like, what was that band, Theater of Sheep? Theater of Sheep, that band that everybody thought, they had some weird, like, they had some Courtney Love connection.
Yeah, the lead singer used to go out with Courtney.
Yeah, and it's like, that's a band that a lot of people talk about, and I just feel like a tool because, I mean, not like a tool, but I feel out of the loop because I wasn't here for that. A lot of the early days of Satyricon stuff, just stuff that I wouldn't run around for, so, all right.
Yeah,
and that's when and where?
Cinema 21, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. and 9 p.m., and you can kind of see where a lot of the influence of grunge, Nirvana, and stuff came from, with, like the Wipers.
Oh, Tim has handed this to me here. Northwest Passage, the birth of Portland's DIY culture. A love letter to, then it lists a bunch of the bands, along with the many lesser bands that surrounded them, perhaps, blah, 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 blah. And, so there's a whole thing here. So that is happening, Cinema 21, one night only tomorrow. And Cinema 21's a cool place, too. I've seen a bunch of stuff there. That's a cool place.
The other thing is, if you watch some of the bands, you'll see a local Portland TV newscaster in one of the bands. He's a youngster.
Is this a tease? You're not going to tell us who it is, are you?
Bastard.
All right, thank you, sir.
Okay, thanks.
There you go, that's Fred. All right. Fred sounds like a guy who'd be in a band in that movie, too. Just totally nonplussed by being on the radio.
Totally.
Kind of a lack of enthusiasm for everything, even as he's doing it. Let's see. Well, we probably don't have time to do anything else here. We don't have to talk about Sarah's many interesting bruises today.
My arm is killing me.
We'll talk about it with Storm. She'll have some observations.
Stop, Rick.
I didn't say anything.
Okay.
Okay, that was projecting just there.
No, I can... You're digging, I can tell.
I'm not digging.
Okay.
That right there, we just caught that.
My arm is freaking killing me, though. Yeah. I am an idiot.
You don't really say frickin' a lot. That's a weird word to say.
I know. I keep setting it on the table, and then I keep forgetting that.
Oh, that's right. Okay, this is where Sarah's injury is.
It's wrapped around my arm.
If you were to hold your two arms in front of you as though you were holding a steering wheel at, whatever that is, 3 and 9, holding a steering wheel at 3 and 9, it is directly on the underside of her left arm, midway between, like, your watch and your elbow. And so when she sets it on the counter... And I hate to say this, but you're kind of doing that thing where Homer Simpson drops his keys into, like, that fat frying thing, and he's, like, reaching in over and over. Ow! Don't! Ow! Don't! Ow! Don't! Ow! Don't! Ow! Don't! And that's what you're kind of just putting your arm down every few minutes, like, ow! And then pulling it back.
I'm going to run up to your office with a big picture of your head in it and grab some Advil.
I think you need a sling.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously, you should really full-on just get one of those. Yeah. I'm not digging for anything. I'm just saying you were just projecting a little bit there when I said.
No, you're right. I just don't know. I don't exactly know how to word things. Well, it is a me problem, not a you problem.
Let's put it this way. You, Sarah Dillon, recently single, had a bit of an evening last night. At the beginning of the evening, and you stop me whenever you feel I'm going too far. At the beginning of the evening, you were not bruised, weren't bleeding, didn't have any bandages, weren't drunk, hadn't nearly given yourself a concussion, had not had a bookcase collapse on you.
I think I collapsed on the bookcase.
Okay.
Or something.
And had not...
had some awkwardness.
Had not encountered any awkwardness with the folks you ran into.
Yeah.
That's how the evening began. By the end of the evening, you had all those things happen to you. And now you're bloody.
And now I'm bloody and bruised.
All right. So all I'm saying is, we'll talk about it. We can talk about it later when Storm is here. Because Storm will have...
Storm and Davey both have very good insights.
She'll have any number of observations to make that it would be improper of me. And plus, you won't yell at Storm. That's the thing. Storm will ask you stuff and won't yell.
You're tricky.
I'm just saying, if I ask you, be like, shut up, I told you I don't want to talk about it. If Storm asks, you'll be like, oh, I know, because we're sisters under the skin, let's talk. And then you'll tell Storm everything.
I think Storm will be impressed by my bruise.
She will, actually. She'll think it's cool. We have no time for anything here, so we should break here. It will come back. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this on AM 970. Solid State Radio.